This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? Good Monday. What's up, guys?
It is a wonderful Monday.
I think it's really sexy.
How are you?
Oh, you know.
You're okay? You always say that. Why don't you ever say, I'm great?
Because I'm okay.
Are you ever great?
I am always great.
Maybe
okay,
it means
good.
He's not great right now.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Gosh.
I was actually watching, like, this is where you got me. You know, like, you sit down and you log on your computer, and, like, I pull up Twitter, and they've got these videos of, like, just people, you know, filming what's going down in Israel right now. Hmm. And it's just kind of like, ooh. And so you caught me, like, with that one. I was actually in a really good mood today, but... Dude, some of the video footage from that is bananas. Like, because it's just, yeah, it's just people filming stuff. And then you're like, oh, that's something a little bit worse than, you know, some homeless people, like, on the street, like, taking a dump somewhere or setting something on fire. And it's weird because, like, the movies have taught us that, like, war is very glamorous and, you know, it's like Rambo running around and it's very stylized. And then you see this and it's just... It's quite chaotic and just it's hard to kind of wrap your head around exactly what's going down. So
well,
you caught me watching a couple weird videos there and it was a little like, whoa.
You need to go to puppies.com.
Yeah, puppies and ice cream, you know, that sort of thing. And I was driving in today. Do you listen to Spotify? Are you a Spotify guy at all?
Yes.
All right.
Very much so.
Do you ever do the daily mixes?
No.
Okay. Well, Spotify will kick out daily mixes for you. Like 1 through 10.
Based on your playlists and like songs.
Yeah. Now,
and stuff
see,
like
can
that.
I stop you right there?
What do you got?
So the daily playlist on our Spotify account,
sure,
will most likely be based off of Meatball's preferences because he's the account holder.
Well, but each
we pay for it, but
you can have an account, but there you can have separate accounts inside one account.
I should set up my own account.
Yeah, right. So like we have that. We have a one. You know, we have a family account, but it's all mine. It's, you know, I don't have anyone else's playlist or anything on there. And I normally like the daily mixes because it gives you, it takes like songs that you like, that you've liked and that you listen to. And then it gives you, you know, some stuff that's kind of a layup that you know you're going to
like the music I like.
But then it gives you some different stuff that maybe you haven't heard before. It's a nice way to find out some new music. But I swear to God, Spotify was effing with me today. And it really kind of threw me for a loop because nice sunny day like this, right? You put the sunroof open, roll down the windows, get some tunes going. So I turn on a daily mix. I believe it was daily mix number 3 for me. And it was nice. It started out with a little White Buffalo, and then it transitioned into some Ryan Bingham, and then it gave me some Leon Bridges. And I was like, ooh, change up. Leon Bridges, let's do this. And then it kind of got into some like some modern bluegrass, and I was pretty happy. And then John Mayer came up, and I said, John Mayer? Like, what's happening there? Skip. Dave Matthews Band?
What?
What? Skip. Then it gave me this, and this is where I got a little, it was a bit much. It gave me Lifehouse. Lifehouse? was this like 1997?
One Hit Wonder, Lifehouse.
Yes, but it wasn't even that hit. That
Hanging by a Moment?
It was Lifehouse, but not Hanging by a Moment, which I was double insulted
by.
Wait,
they have another song?
They do, and apparently it popped up on my daily mix. And now I'm like, all right, you got to be effing me. Skip, and this was the piece de la resistance, the Macho Man off the top rope. Creed, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, all in a row?
All in a row. I'm convinced that Spotify. And by the way, it wasn't even that song. It was a Creed song I hadn't even heard of before. Because honestly, I think that's the only Creed song I've heard of. But I was like, you come on.
Do you think it panics every time you hit skip?
And it doesn't know what to do. And it's just, and it just throws it out there. But that, is there a worse four spot? And by the way, what am I listening to that leads you to believe that I want any of that?
I would, John Mayer is bluesy, so that's probably why.
That's where it went from. It went from Bridges to John Mayer.
Well, I can see the connection there. Now, the Dave Matthews, that gets a little loose, but, I mean, I like Dave Matthews. I think he's good, or they're good. And then, what, Creed? No, Lifehouse and then Creed?
Then Creed.
Yeah, you should probably have, like, a like and a dislike, right? Like, you can...
Yeah. Yeah,
but can you thumb up or thumbs down? They should have a third button that's like, F, no,
no,
I'm canceling my account.
Never do it again. And it,
they should
what?
Have that.
I had a good buzz go. I had a good music buzz going driving in. And that right there.
Well, maybe.
Totally sobered my music buzz up.
Maybe you should have listened to it all.
No, I.
And
I,
went. I, and I, then you'd be the start of your show would be like, oh, my God. Have you guys listened to Lifehouse in a while?
Maybe it
so
would have
good.
Made the sunny day even better.
Yeah. Maybe they know what they're doing, and you're not allowing them. You're not taking in their greatness.
It's like
Spotify.
It's like 75 degrees, and the last thing anyone needs is Creed. Especially just like out of nowhere Creed.
Now, do we all need to admit, though, that John Mayer is good?
I will not admit that John Mayer is good.
You won't?
No.
He's good, dude.
Is he?
He is.
No. No,
he
he's
is.
Not. No.
John Mayer is good.
He's a good guitar player.
That's what I mean.
I'll give him that.
That's mostly what he does.
But I don't want to listen to John Mayer sing.
Well, I didn't say you want to listen to
him. And I don't
want
to listen
to
John Mayer music, but he is a very, very
wait.
Good
wait,
guitar
wait, wait.
Player.
You're classic Sakanic. Nobody's saying they want to listen to him.
Yeah.
We need to admit John Mayer's good. He's
Again,
good.
I'm willing to put a caveat on this. He
Just
is
say
a
it.
Good guitar player.
Yeah, but that's what he does. He's a guitarist.
Well, he's an artist. And I,
yeah, but I think of him as only a guitar. Like if you took the guitar out of John Mayer's hands,
yeah.
You don't have anything but a pretty face.
Exactly.
It's not even that pretty.
Has anyone, and yet it works.
So he's
anyone,
a guitarist. Of course he's good.
Has anyone ever been like, you know what I need right now? I need me some John Mayer.
But not the guitar.
No,
not the guitar.
No.
So just, that's what I'm saying. Like it's all encompassing. John Mayer's good. you don't want to give him any. And so is Dave Matthews' Band. It's a good band.
Am I on mushrooms? Am I at a festival?
Well, it can be.
Because then, you know, again, I understand. If you're out in a field somewhere and you're on something, sure.
Did I ever tell you, John?
Crash into me, whatever.
John Mayer Band or, I mean, Dave Matthews Mayer or whatever.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band.
Mm-hmm.
They were a college band when I was in college. That's how old I am.
Yes. Me too. I saw Dave Matthews when they were the opening act.
Like a bar band.
Yes. They were not a headliner. They were on the way up.
They played a show at our frat.
Get right the hell out of town.
Yeah. Out in the back.
Was it great or was it like...
It was good.
You like, okay, you thought they were...
Well, they were just a really good band. At that time, here were the college bands that were huge.
Yeah.
At least at KU or in and around our little
the Midwest
world. Dave Matthews Band... The Freddie Jones Band, Samples. Do you remember Samples?
I don't remember
Oh,
Samples.
Man. I think they're still going. Okay. They were great at the time. And I think that might be it. Those three.
That was the big.
And, I thought I had another one there, but it's
and
lost.
And one of those climbed the ladder slightly better than the others.
Yeah. Well, Freddie Jones Band, Freddie Jones Band was bigger than all of them.
Hmm.
They were huge, at least at KU. And when they would play, you'd have to go down to the, you'd have to go down to the big venue, Freddie Jones. Like Freddie Jones is coming?
That was at the local amphitheater. It
but
wasn't at some frat house.
Dave Matthews Band played like a date night at our frat.
Huh.
I still have the t-shirt somewhere in all my stuff.
Look, I'll say if you see a band like that that's really that grows into, whatever you think of Dave Matthews, dude, that's a huge band.
I can only imagine.
By the way, Patrick Harris's favorite band.
Dave Matthews Band. Yeah.
Which, if I meet someone and you tell me your favorite band is the Dave Matthews, I have a lot of respect because that's a bold statement. And the fact
and every year he goes out to the Gorge when they come out here for like a week and goes to every single show.
This year they're coming to Bend.
I feel like a lot of...
And the Gorge.
I feel like they
live... Are they doing both?
They just live there. I feel like there's a lot of Dave Matthews Band fans, obviously, but I don't know how many people are openly like, I really love Dave Matthews. They're my favorite band. So when you fly that flag, look, I got some respect for you. You know, good for you, Patrick Harris. But it is kind of cool when you see a, you know, a band like that that's... That's just a local whatever, you know, college band, and then it kind of turns into something big. That's pretty cool.
Well, they weren't local.
Well, no, but they were on that scene.
I guess. They're from? Are they Chicago?
I thought they might be New York. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. But anyway, good little show. I can only imagine, and I don't. I mean, I didn't see any of this.
Yeah.
But I would imagine when a band like that plays a frat, don't they party at the frat afterwards?
I would assume so.
So I should be telling you a story of partying with Dave Matthews Band, but I cannot do that.
You probably know someone in a sorority that was adjacent to yours that probably stooped Dave Matthews, or at least like the violin player or something from Dave Matthews. It says here they're from, I think they're from Virginia.
Oh.
Yeah. All Charlottesville, right. By the way. 1991, Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay. That's when they were formed?
That's when they were formed.
Oh, man.
Band formed so this in Charlottesville, show... Virginia, 1991.
So this show would have been 1993 or 1994.
Yes, they were just kind of...
They were just starting out.
Yeah, they were just getting going.
How about that?
I saw Jack Johnson, which was probably the...
Did he have his shoes off?
He did have his shoes off.
He's good, too.
He was. I love Jack Johnson.
He's great.
He's probably the biggest guy that I saw when they were, like, nothing. I saw Jack Johnson in front of 60 people.
Is that right?
75 people, maybe.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where was that show?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Is he still doing his thing, Jack Johnson?
Yeah, he's still out there.
Okay.
And I'm a big fan of what he's got going on. I saw him. I saw Fiona Apple at the Moore Theater
you
in Seattle.
Say...
No, that's not her.
Oh.
That's Lisa
who's
Loeb.
Who's that?
That's Lisa Loeb.
Oh.
Who's doing a Geico commercial now, which is kind of strange.
Who was it?
Fiona Apple.
What'd she do?
She did Criminal. She had like two or three pretty big albums. And I think she's still around, but she's like one of those that like shunned the spotlight now. But I saw her at a little, I mean, it was, I'm pretty sure you only went there to score drugs, but then Fiona Apple was playing on the stage.
Let me guess, really good.
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And like you knew, and this was like maybe 6 months before Criminal, like her big.
You could tell she was going to be huge.
Oh, God, yeah. We were staying at this really awful hotel. Like, think about the worst, like, it just because it was like $30 a night. You could put as many people as you wanted in there. The door didn't lock. I mean, it was prostitutes in the lobby. Just the worst Seattle dive hotel. And the theater next to it, it was the Moore Hotel, and there was a little ballroom theater next door. And I think it was $5 to get in. And we walked downstairs, and it was, you know, this Fiona
she
Apple.
She was playing.
And we're like, oh, $5, wow. Let's go. And she was amazing. And then a couple months later, it was, you know, this was probably, what, 1995-ish maybe? And a couple months later, she was huge. She was, like, winning Grammys. And so you can tell, man, when you go see, like, one of the same thing. Like, you used to go see a band, and it's a little small club. You can tell when someone's going to be a lot bigger than
that. Doesn't that show you, like, how good you have to be?
Yeah.
Like, Fiona Apple's pretty good.
Sure.
I mean, I say pretty good. She's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as commercial success, yeah.
She had one or two albums.
One or two
albums.
You know, Fiona Apple kind of falls on the where are they now list. And she's only, I'm looking here, she's only 43.
Yeah.
That just shows you how great you have to be. Well, not necessarily great, because there's some bands that aren't great that have so much more success.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a crowded field. There's a lot of talented people.
Oh, yeah. Or, you know, you have
I'm going to start a band tomorrow. And
you have a couple years of huge success, and then, you know, to...
What would be more likely? I start a band tomorrow and make it big, or I make the PGA Tour?
I think making the PGA Tour.
And that will never happen
that
in a million years.
That will never happen, but I think
Have you heard me sing, though? You guys haven't heard me sing, have you?
Can you write songs?
Oh, I don't care. I'll just have someone in Nashville write me some songs.
Okay, so this is honestly...
Isn't that what the...
well, this is why so much turnover happens in country music, is that, look, I can't not, there's some like really good, like Chris Stapleton or, you know, whatever, guys that are true artists, but so much of Nashville is, you go to Nashville, you're 22, you're 23, you're a hot gal, you're a hot guy, the machine decides that you're going to be a hit. And so they get a bunch of their songwriters, they crank out a couple tunes for you, you're big for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden you're kind of old and you're not the young hip thing. And so they don't write songs for you anymore. And then you end up on the, you know, the whatever the.
Yeah. Well, that's Nashville. It's like a, what do they call it? Like a.
Yeah, it's just a conveyor belt.
Yeah, right.
You know, so you end up on like the county fair sort of circuit. And I like a lot of the music I like is they're mid-level bands, but I think they're way better than anything that's on the radio, but they never really become huge. I mean, some of those guys have 30, 40 year careers and never really quite hit the big time, but it's way better than what you hear on the radio.
Cajun Queen. You're telling me that's not marketable?
That is so damn good. I picture you like in kind of that Red Wiley country. Hubbard sort of category, you know.
45, dad bod.
I'm gonna love you forever.
Drinks a little, likes to golf. Here's somebody who said they saw Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros at Doug Fir. And yes, that is, they are, that's a great one because I imagine them at Doug Fir would have been killer.
Yeah.
Because that's an interesting and fun band.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, was it the Lumineers that are from here too?
Lumineers are not from here. I saw them and was thoroughly disappointed in them.
There was a band here a number of years ago that like 94.7 put out at one of their local shows that hit big. And I'm trying to remember who it was, but they like broke them here.
Was it Fits in the Tantrums maybe?
I don't remember. I just, like every now and then you get a band that comes through here, but you know.
Yeah, Ropping the Golf Channels. You think got a ring to it?
I like it. Who is it? Peter Jacobson has that band.
Yeah,
whatever.
He likes to play music.
He does like golf. You can get Joey out there with you.
Joey on piano.
Play piano.
All right, got. Oh, was it Foster the People? Maybe
I think that might have been.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, there is your opening segment for a Monday. Mm-hmm. Another week. We're here for another week for you guys. Music talk.
Who had Israeli Palestine conflict. Into Spotify, into ROP forming some sort of alt-country golf band. That's where we went in that first segment.
Well, we've got a good show today, I think, because we get to talk about Tim Tebow again. We get to talk about my buddy Bob Baffert.
I will say that is the best excuse and the doubling down on getting caught of anything I've ever, ever seen.
I'll tell you what, I'm here for the Bob Baffert show.
I'm totally buying. I want him to stick with the tainted P-Hay. Just keep riding that, man. That's phenomenal.
Now we're hearing that it's possibly the Decemberists.
Yeah, that was another one that I know that broke around here.
Now, I know Portugal the Man is from here, but that I think they were already big before all that. Mm. But they're a big deal around here. You know, they're the big Blazer guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be the Decemberists.
I remember that 94.7, you know, alternative.
Mark Hamilton.
He's a sharp guy, and he has helped break a couple pretty good-sized bands over the years. That kind of got their start playing.
Every time I take something to him, I'm like, hey, man, what do you think of this guy or this band? He's like, Rob. I'm like, what? They're good. He's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm like, damn, that's a whole nother level to get on the radio, I guess. You got to be like Hanson.
It's quite challenging. Mbop.
Cranking out Mbop.
Just realize that each one of those kids is a millionaire based on Mbop.
All right. Well, no jealousy here. That's great.
No, not at all.
It's a good little song back in the day. All right, well, let's go. You ready? Let's talk Blazers.
Yeah, they're good again.
They're good again, and they cannot be stopped. I'm not certain that they will lose again.
It's one of those, huh?
Because they're not going to lose tonight.
No. The numbers are pretty good, though.
No chance they lose tonight.
I ran the numbers by Stan Grossman, and they were pretty sweet.
Who's Stan Grossman?
Yeah, it's a Fargo reference.
But, oh. You know. All right, it is 3:19. This is The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Here is our poll question. And I'm going to tease something before I get to our poll question. We have breaking NBA news. But first, our poll question brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAA IAQ.com. Today we're asking you at 1080thefan.com, how much faith do you have the Blazers will make a playoff run? None at all. Maybe win a series or watch out. Vote 1080thefan.com.
I would have said, we got to get to the break.
We just cut you right off.
Yes.
Wait.
Is it Tim Tebow?
That was.
What's happening?
No. Go ahead.
I want the breaking news.
Oh, okay.
It's
all right.
Too late. I need the breaking news.
All right. False alarm. Jaylen Brown, Celtics.
Yeah.
Done for the season.
Ooh.
He has some sort of ligament tear in his wrist.
That's not good.
So.
Yeah, Boston wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah,
anyways.
Boston was like they're kind of the Lakers of the East.
Yeah.
Where they've just been, well, not really the Lakers of the East because they haven't been all that banged up, but they just haven't been right.
Nope. They have just, there's something up. It's too talented to be dinking around. Like they're the six or seven seed.
Yeah.
They're right around that plane, and that's way too talented a roster.
But a dangerous six.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much now without Jaylen Brown. Any whoosies. Where are you voting? Where's your hard?
Oh, I would have said if you had to go back, 2 weeks, I would have laughed at you to even, any sort of noise in the playoffs. I would have said just avoid the play-in game, I think was probably your goal. But you look at, I think, over the last, 8 or 9 games since Nurkic and Powell have both been in the starting lineup. This is the 14th ranked defense. It's the third or fourth best offense. Net rating is somewhere in the 5-6 range. And they've beaten good teams. And I get that some of these teams have been missing players, but Portland's playing really well. And Lillard looks like he's back to what we saw at the beginning of the year, or I said the middle of the year, when he was looking like an MVP sort of guy. And you look at kind of the way the West is shaping up, depending on who they get in that first round. Yeah, I think you've got a puncher's chance to make a little bit of a run. Now, I think you're going to run into the better teams, and I think that's where this ends. I still think this team is way fatally flawed, but the way they're playing right now, I don't put it past them to see the second round if you can avoid the play-in game, which right now you're, a game up on the Lakers and you're on the tiebreaker?
Wouldn't they have a better chance in the play-in tournament and then playing Phoenix or Utah in getting to the second round than playing the Clippers?
Well, that's we don't know what's going to happen here. But if you get the Clippers, that's the crappy part, is if you end up as the sixth seed and your reward is the Clippers, then you're hooped in the first round. But if you end up somehow playing the Nuggets, I still think you're hooped against the Suns.
Nuggets are your only chance. There's only 4 games left. You would either play, if they don't play the play-in tournament, they'll either play the Clippers or the Nuggets. And right now the Clippers are 1 game ahead of the Nuggets for the 3.
Yeah.
And the Clippers are also playing Toronto, I think, tomorrow, if not Wednesday. And Toronto's resting all their dudes.
So,
And then the Blazers play the Nuggets coming up, too. So, look, there's a lot to be decided, but they'll either be the 6 and play the Clippers as it stands right now. They could be the 6 and play the Nuggets if the Nuggets pass the Clippers. Or they could be the 5 and play the Nuggets. Chance against the Nuggets, I guess. Look, we've talked about it. This is the same thing every year.
The Mavericks schedule is incredibly easy. So
is it?
Passing the Mavs is going to be tough.
But Luka could be getting suspended for a game. So there's that. You own the tiebreaker against the late. Look, at the end of the day, this is kind of where I'll sit on this.
So we're celebrating them going to the...
This is getting
the 6 and getting bounced in the first round again?
This is where I sit on it. You've got a puncher's chance. The way you're playing right now, and you're playing better defense. Lillard looks like the old Lillard. Nurkic is anchoring the defense. Covington has come around in the second half of the season. You have an opportunity. And you never know, right? Someone can get hurt. Weird things can happen. You are not an easy out at this point, I think, if you're Portland. I still think you're bounced in the first round. But all you can hope for at this point, the way this season has gone, is to give yourself an opportunity. And I think they have played their way into that.
Is that a quote from last year and the year before and the year before that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not an easy out in the first round?
That's all you can say. But they're not – you can't say anything more than that. But I'm not going to sit up here and trash them and say that this is a road apple that's going to get bounced in 4 games. You can't. They have played better, and this looks like it could be a dangerous team. I'm not going to give them any sort of great feeling that you're going to get by anyone in the first round. But I promise you, if you're Denver, maybe not the Clippers, because I think the Clippers feel very confident about that first round matchup. But I don't think there's a team in the Western Conference that would watch the way Portland's playing right now with a guy like Damian Lillard and say, oh, that's a team that we're taking lightly in the first round. And that's all you can say. It's as far as you can go with the Blazers. And yes, I know that sounds tired and repetitive, but it's the truth.
Well, I don't know if there's a team, like of all the team, if you're a playoff team, who would you most want to play? Like, I know you got the play-in tournament, so San Antonio and Memphis are, and Golden State, I guess, are in the mix.
Yes.
So they could get in there. And so I guess maybe you'd most want to play the Warriors?
I would rather play the Warriors, and I'd rather play the Mavericks.
Oh, you'd rather play Dallas and Portland if you're like Utah or Phoenix or whatever?
If I'm Utah, Phoenix, Clips, whatever, I think I'd rather play Golden State, and I'd rather play Dallas than I would Portland.
Mm. By the way, Dallas just came off a back-to-back with the Cavs, which they won both. They have the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Raptors, and the Timberwolves are their last four.
Yeah, so they're...
And the Pels are without Zion.
Yeah. So that should be a sweep. Basically, for the play-in stuff, they're not going to catch Dallas, one would think. You need some combination of three late Blazer wins or Laker losses.
Yeah, that's right.
So
they have to go 3-1. And if they just go 3-1,
they're in.
Lakers ain't catching them.
No. But if they go 2-2.
But if the Lakers go 4-0 and they go 2-2, then the Lakers will pass them.
Yes.
And then they're in the play-in tournament. And like I said, even if they're in the play-in tournament, maybe that's more exciting, and then you get a more winnable first-round series. I don't know.
It's possible.
But the bottom line is it's the same old story this
Probably,
year.
Yes.
But they are playing better, so that's nice. They should win tonight. Mm-hmm. Houston is 6-42 since February 4th. I looked that up today and couldn't believe that. 6-42 since February 4th. Do I need to repeat that?
No.
They are,
although maybe one more time for good measure, because that's alarming.
Houston is 6-42
God.
Since February 4th. So they traded all their guys, right?
Yeah.
And then they got Christian Wood, and they got this, who's the kid that's showing flashes, the guard? He's hurt, but no one knows, anyone?
The kid that's shown flashes.
Porter Jr. or Foster Jr. or something? The guy for Houston?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason to.
Kevin Porter Jr.
Porter Jr., yeah.
Porter Jr.
He's actually pretty good.
Oh, didn't he get thrown in the trash heap by the Cavs because he was a malcontent or something? Yeah.
So he's done some things in Houston, but he's not playing tonight from what I gather.
No, he is out, and so is Christian Wood.
Christian Wood is out.
Yes.
Oh, is Wood out now? I saw he was questionable.
So who do they
have? And Bradley is out.
Who do they have?
They got Jayshon Tate.
Who?
Daniel House Jr. Armoni Brooks is going to start. They got DJ Augustine.
DJ Augustine?
Yeah.
DJ Augustine?
That DJ Augustine.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What is the spread on this?
Kenyon Martin Jr. Does that do anything for you?
No.
Okay.
Where's Kenyon Martin Sr.?
I'm guessing the spread, I'm going to say probably 11. 10 to 11. Ooh, I just saw it. Got to take a guess?
I don't know. 10? 11?
14.
Oh.
14.
All right. Well,
now,
they shouldn't lose.
They should not lose. But the final three are tricky, right? The final three for Portland. But we don't know if those teams are going to be playing everybody. We don't know what the seeding is, if people are going to be resting. But you got what? Denver, Phoenix, and...
Well, they have Utah first.
Utah.
Then Phoenix. Or I think it's Utah, Phoenix, and Denver.
Those are their final three.
Yeah.
So again,
two of those are on the road.
You need a combination of three.
In a back to back.
You need Laker losses, Blazer wins. You got to get to three, and you are out of the play in tournament. But
and into a first round series where you're going to get bitch slapped by the Clippers.
Probably.
All right.
Still, the Lakers, and LeBron is in theory going to be back for this tomorrow. So they got the Knicks, which the Knicks are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's one to keep an eye on. But realize that if the Lakers get by the Knicks, their final three are Houston, Indiana, and New Orleans.
Win. Well, no Zion again. So what's Indiana got going on?
Nothing.
They didn't look good when the Blazers played them.
No. So
they could go 4-0.
They will more than likely, if they can get by New York with the return of LeBron, they're gonna go 4-0.
Oh wait, don't the Blazers just have to win tonight though?
No,
they'd be 3-1.
No, on their final...
Or I mean, I'm sorry. What am I talking about?
The Blazers have to win
three. They have to win three.
Or if the Lakers go 3-0.
I was thinking just win one of the four. No. That was way off base.
They got to win three.
So, does that include the tiebreaker? Because technically the Blazers are up by two games right now.
Yeah, Blazers have the tiebreaker.
This includes the tiebreaker. So again, combination. Blazer wins, Laker losses. Three of them, and you are the sixth seed.
Okay. Well, may or may not happen. Kind of exciting.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Like the final four games and the way you're playing. Fun. If this was 2 weeks ago and you were looking at those final three games, you'd be like, oh God, it's over. But now the way you're playing, you know. And I think there's something.
You're so
to be,
cute. You and Blazer fans.
There's something to be said for trying to prove that you can beat one of these teams above you because you've been horrific against them all year.
Or aren't both those games going to be nationally televised games? I think ESPN on Wednesday, and then TNT, Mike was saying in his sports snort on Thursday.
Yeah, one of them got bumped up.
Ooh. Both of them got moved to national. And then Jazz is up to 6:30 from 7.
And you know how the league doesn't like teams resting players on national television.
Yeah, but that's not going to – look – it'll be interesting to see if those teams have anything to play for and if they roll people out there.
Well, let's talk about something that happened, two things that happened with the Trailblazers in their games over the weekend. But, well, let's do that next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Blazers enter a critical final week of the season where they are giving you hope once again. Once again.
Yeah.
In classic Blazer fashion, that it was not just injuries.
They're like that alcoholic stripper girlfriend. Like, she seems like a good idea and she's pretty hot. And every now and then it's things are going great. And then she disappoints you and, you know, you come home and she's pawned like your grandma's ring.
But she's hot.
But she's hot. And then, like, she kind of, you know, straightens up a little bit, you know, when you're getting ready to leave her. Yeah, it's a very roller coaster esque relationship.
I said making you think it's not just injuries. I meant making you think it's just injuries.
Yeah.
Right. And oh, they should run it back again because look at this now.
Yep.
They've done this every year seemingly, but you know, you like you said, you just never know.
Nope.
So you got four games
that year going into the conference where they made the conference finals run. No one saw that coming. And
well, but okay, that's true, but that's one out of six. That was the anomaly.
I'm just saying,
but you're right, to your point, it can happen. Yeah. It did happen. Yeah. But the other 4 years, well, four of the five other years you lost in the first round, and then the other year I think they got, this is post LaMarcus Aldridge Blazers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stotts Lillard Blazers. That was the year I think that remember when Chris Paul and
Blake
Griffin both got hurt in the first round, they got through. Now, the Blazers will tell you that, oh my God, they were beating the Clippers anyway. And that's your, yeah, no, they weren't. They were definitely giving them trouble. But, you know, so you could make the case 5 out of 6 years they've been out in the first round.
Yeah.
But that 1 year gives you hope.
And that's.
So here we go again. So the Blazers play Houston tonight. They should win because Houston doesn't have anyone. And then Utah, and somebody points out Utah still has to win a few games to guarantee the one seed, and that would be somewhat of a battle to avoid the Lakers, right? Because Utah and Phoenix, whoever's the two is likely going to have to play the Lakers. I mean, there's so much still up in the air, but as it stands now, the Lakers could be the seven.
Have fun with that,
and you don't want that.
Can you imagine that's your reward for finishing, you know,
right,
for winning 50 games?
That's brutal, because
your reward is possibly a rested LeBron James and suddenly over the last couple games a motivated Anthony Davis.
Yeah, see, I think that's where I was going with it. Is it's brutal because I don't know what you thought, but that game against the Lakers on Friday, Anthony Davis looks like he's getting it together.
And the last two games, he really has.
And then they played again the next night, and they hammered Phoenix.
Yep. And Anthony Davis was an
and
absolute.
He was awesome.
He was an absolute beast.
So it was like, I was kind of sitting there watching them going, oh boy. You know, even though the Blazers won that game, and that was a good win, it was a hard fought win, I kind of thought, oh boy, LeBron's going to be back next week. Look at Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. And then once you get those two guys, everybody else kind of falls back into their role.
And Schroeder will be back at some point for COVID protocols.
And he's a big player for them.
He is a underrated aspect of that team. And you just go back to when everyone was healthy at the beginning of the year for the Lakers. You know, we were 25 games in, and, you know, you were bringing Quick on, and he just said, dude, it's not even close right now. The Lakers are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
So the question is, this is like the Nets. Can you not have played together for most of the year, magically get healthy at the end, throw everyone together, and then go on a run? Look, it's
Nets Lakers finals. If it's the Nets Lakers finals,
no one should be surprised.
You shouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, you should be disgusted.
Yes, because
the regular season
a giant indictment on the regular.
It means
season.
Nothing,
yes.
And these guys don't give two rips about it. Yeah. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron's dogging it. Just he's like, you know what? I don't. He's missed 24 of the last 26 games, yeah. And he's probably going to come as long as his ankle is good. Dude, he's going to be a force.
Yeah, he's going to be well-rested.
He's
been well-rested. And again, Anthony Davis looked like crap for a couple games. And like you said, against Portland, it started to turn the corner. And then he looked like a world beater against Phoenix.
So they play Utah Wednesday, Phoenix Thursday, I think is how that shakes out. And then I think they don't play again until Sunday. Saturday or Sunday, they play the last game, and that's Denver.
And all of the games that day are going to be in the same three-hour window.
Yeah, they're going to. Yeah, they're really spicing this up. Now, if they go in...
Yeah, they play Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday.
If they go into the play-in tournament, here's how they do it. Somebody was asking me over the weekend on the golf course, like, how does that work? I'm like, you know what?
Let me get back to you.
Can I send you a spreadsheet? Seven hosts eight. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is as the season ends. If the Blazers are in the seven, they would host eight. The winner of that game is the seven seed in the playoffs, period.
Period.
So you play one, if you fall back to the seven, you play one game. If you win that, right now that would be against the Warriors. If you win that game, you are the seven and most likely playing Phoenix as it stands now in a seven-game series. The ninth place team hosts the 10th place team, which right now would be Memphis hosting San Antonio.
San Antonio sucks, by the way.
They sure do. The loser of that game is out.
Yeah.
The loser of the 7-8 game then hosts the winner of the 9-10 game in a one-game matchup, and the winner of that is the 8 seed and likely playing Utah in the first round of the playoffs. Make sense?
You are correct. I thought you did a very nice job.
And I think that's how I explained it on the golf course.
Now, can I also ask the question? Because I have not watched a lot of San Antonio this year until they played the Portland Trail.
You're going to ask what happened to them, aren't you?
I'm going to ask, when did Greg Popovich, how do you describe what Pop has going on right now?
I didn't see that game.
He's got the COVID look going on.
He looks like
COVID
hell.
Look? What do you mean?
He let his hair grow out and he looks kind of disheveled and more so than normal.
Oh.
Like, I know that he's not the most,
handsome, he's not a very good looking dude.
Handsome guy in the world, but I saw him in that the Blazer game and just kind of, he's starting to look a little bit like, remember Indiana Jones in the Last Crusade where the Nazi guy chooses poorly and then like he disintegrates? About 6 seconds into his disintegrating and the hair starts to go, that's kind of what Popovich looks like. I think he chose poorly. I think
he look like George Carlin a little bit?
A little bit. But again, if George Carlin had like a massive drug problem, which he probably did, it just was, I was not prepared for what Popovich was bringing to the table when they were playing the Blazers.
How old is he?
Pop is 72.
Oof.
But he needs to.
It's old.
I guess he doesn't have to do anything. He's Greg Popovich, but boy, he.
What happened to them, though? I mean,
they suck.
What happened to them is my question. Why? Like, Popovich is a good coach. Oh, are we learning that you really have to have good players to be a winning coach?
I think you are learning that you have to have good players.
I also think you're learning that in a small market like San Antonio, you're not going to attract stars to go play there. You have to draft well.
Well, they got DeRozan.
And make good trades.
Well, DeRozan came on the trade, but that was because,
I thought that was a good trade at the time.
Well, they forced, and Kawhi forced in, their hand.
Well, but getting DeRozan,
Yeah.
Like, most.
But there just isn't.
Most small markets would have, sold out for draft picks, but sure. They got a player. They at least tried to stay relevant, signed LaMarcus, added DeRozan.
But you look.
But
through,
they just, they're yeah, just not
if
any
you
good.
Look through their lineup.
They got a couple of young guys that have some promise that they've been, like the Dejounte Murray guy.
Right, yeah.
Is one. I think there's someone else that I watched the game. I forget who it was, though, who they've talked about a lot as having a really high potential. But beyond that, God.
Did you
awful.
Think that the fans in the Moda Center on Friday night gave them a little juice?
I'm sure it certainly helps. I mean, I don't.
I did watch the local news and they were fawning all over the atmosphere at the Moda Center. I had to laugh.
1,800 people. Yeah. Ah!
But who knows? Maybe maybe that helped them a little bit.
Look, I'm sure it's nice to be playing in front of some fans again. I think
especially your own.
Yeah, the home court advantage. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a big deal with 1,800 fans in the stands for the playoffs. But yeah, it's cool. To see
they
fans
might
back.
Increase it from 10% to I think I saw 20% for the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Double. Yeah.
You get $4,000 or $5,000 in there. Okay.
I'm looking here at the home away records. Blazers 21-13 away, mm-hmm. 18-16 at home.
Yeah, the home court thing is.
They need their fans.
The home court thing is.
The bonus center sucks without you.
I certainly think that that plays a.
I'm talking to the fans, not
large
you.
Role. Yeah, if you're waiting for me to show up at the Moda Center to make a difference, you're going to be waiting a while.
Okay, should we move on to some more pressing matters?
Yes.
In sport,
like Tim Tebow.
He is what I had listed next on the list here.
How did I know?
Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
Is it Eminem?
Teebs.
I'd much rather see Eminem back.
Teebs is back, and brace yourself for a tasteless joke, okay?
I'm ready.
351 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Lots of nominees for Greg Popovich's new look. Some saying he looks like Gandalf the Grey.
I think that's an insult to Gandalf the Grey.
Others suggesting the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, that's certainly in the mix.
The old man in Poltergeist.
Yeah, I like that. I can see that.
And we've got a couple of Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
That may be the most accurate one. If you wanted like a positive spin on it, like Pop was like, hey, I'm going for the Doc Brown as opposed to the Crypt Keeper. But look, I appreciate trying to hold on to the scraps of hair. But this is what we were talking about the week before with the going bald thing and trying to hold on to whatever you got. Man, you got to let it go. Unless you're like Hulk Hogan, it's not doing you any favors.
When you got 5 rings, I don't think you do. I think you can do whatever the hell you want. And that's what Popovich is doing.
Pop's out just being Pop.
Well, Tebow is back. The great Tim Tebow.
The great Tim Tebow.
He's been, he's been on the sideline in the NFL.
For like what, 8-9 years?
Almost 10, I think.
This is the dumbest.
Maybe more than 10.
This is the dumbest move.
He's 33 years old.
33 years old, and he hasn't played since 2012.
Okay, 2012. So you were right. 9 years. 8.5 years.
And they're rolling him back out there to be a tight end?
Well, look, yeah. I mean, he was always an elite tight end, but no one would give him the chance.
Clearly.
And now his savior, Urban Meyer, is a head coach in the NFL, and he's like, hey, why not?
I just love the
1-year deal with the Jags.
He's not going to make the roster, so it doesn't matter. But these people that are like, man, when you've got elite talent like Tim Tebow, he played 3 seasons in the NFL. 3. And that last year, he played 2 games.
Are you saying he is not elite talent?
He is not an elite talent, no.
Isn't he still playing baseball, or is he done with that?
No, he's done with baseball.
Oh, really?
He's just not. Like, he is not an elite athlete. You look at his numbers, he's not. So this idea that all of a sudden he's going to come in and move positions.
Hell yeah.
And at 33 years old, having never played, although I guess he started out in like junior high as a tight end. Okay. And that this is not some physical freak. This isn't taking like Usain Bolt and trying to turn him into a wide receiver. You're taking a below average athlete at the tight end position. And you're going to expect him to do what? This is just baffling to me. But, you know, hey, man.
Well, they're old buddies, you know.
I guess. Yeah, he said he wanted him as a locker room sort of thing.
Yes.
Can I also tell you, too, that it really.
Set the tone.
It really bothers me when you hear people that talk about, like, what a hard worker he is.
Why? He's a hard worker.
Do you not realize that.
Or maybe he's not.
99% of everyone in the NFL is a hard worker.
Oh.
This notion, yes, there are some probably the Randy Mosses of the world, and you know, I'm sure Randy got by a lot on athletic ability, but this idea that Randy Moss just sat around and smoked weed and then showed up on Sundays, it's the NFL.
That's racist.
Everyone is a hard worker. But you get the 33-year-old guy, you're like, well, he's just gonna put in the effort as if no one else on that roster, as if the 22-year-old kid that's been playing tight end for a decade. That's trying to make that roster is going to let old ass Tim Tebow come in and somehow show him up. I mean, get out of here. This is so dumb.
Well, I, for one, love it. Mainly because tasteless jokes are floating around out there.
Okay. About tight ends?
No.
Oh.
Although Tebow does have a nice tight end.
I'm sure he does. He is a good-looking man.
He's a great-looking man.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Who cares? No, it's an Aaron Hernandez joke, and I probably shouldn't.
No, you don't want that. That's...
No?
No.
Off limits?
Yeah, well, it's not off limits, but I don't think you...
You don't think I should?
I don't think you want that.
You're the voice of reason around here?
Uh-huh. I'm going to be the voice of reason.
Although, Mike? I'm very curious about what the joke is.
Well, it's not good.
I've heard several tasteless. Of these, and you know.
Very tasteless.
But I do enjoy the fact that he is being brought in as a locker room influence when he was a locker room influence when they had Percy Harvin and Aaron Hernandez.
Well, maybe that's why they were so successful.
Clearly.
Without Tim Tebow, proved that they were going to be that good. Because you let guys like, who was the first guy you said?
Aaron Hernandez and Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin. You let guys like Percy Harvin and Aaron Hernandez run your locker room, you may not even be going to a bowl game. Tim Tebow wins a national championship.
Clearly. Just winning, well, multiple national championships.
That's right. Heisman? He vowed. I watched him after that Ole Miss game. He vowed in tears to be back. And what did he do?
He came back.
Aaron Hernandez has done nothing but let me down. Tim Tebow, nothing but impress me and live up to his word.
By the way, Tim
prove me wrong.
Tim Tebow ran a 4.72 at 235 pounds.
Is that good?
No, that's not that great for a tight end.
Oh.
Considering that Kyle Pitts just ran 4.3.
He's not very tall, is he?
Hey,
tall is Tebow?
He's 6'2".
6'2"?
He's 6'2". Anyway, 230.
Percentage chance he gets cut?
98, 99.
Why not give him an assistant coach position?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. I will, like, it's Urban Meyer, so I guess, you know, whatever, but
publicity stuff.
At the end of the day, you have to be able to play.
Urban
Meyer is not going to give him an honorary position.
Well, he kind of did.
He's inviting him.
He's giving him a chance.
He's giving him a chance.
Yeah. All right, more on this, and then we're really enjoying the Bob Baffert show around here.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
He is really WWE-ing up horse racing, and I'm here for it.
Damn cancel culture.
402 on the fan.